This hour is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, the nation's leader in independently owned and operated talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Chris Aubeck. He wrote with Jacques Vallée, Wonders in the Sky, examining more than 500 selected reported sightings through the ages. Crispy has more to say.
You know, in going through the book, I was really surprised to see a number of sighting events that actually were quite extensive, that went across entire countries, that were probably seen by thousands of people. Do you want to highlight a couple of those real spectacular sighting events that you feel were not mundane celestial events, that appeared to have some sort of intelligence behind it or maneuverability, let's say?
Sure, yeah. If I can just say that normally when a phenomenon is seen over a very wide area, it normally indicates some kind of astronomical source rather than a little object. Usually if something is seen in a small locality, if it's just limited by a region, if it's just seen within a province or a town, then it's generally something which has come down and is very particular to that moment, and it's probably not a comet. Most of the time when something is seen far up in the sky, and it can be seen over a whole country and thousands of people over different regions, it's not usually a UFO. It's normally something quite natural. In any case, yeah, I have a couple of cases here which I'm happy to read, and you can tell me what you think. There's one which was published in the Richmond Democrat in Ray County in Montana on the 14th of June in 1888. I find this one interesting. Let's see, what do you think? It says, the title was What Was It?, which is a very typical title of anomaly reports of the 19th century. A strange phenomenon is reported at Sibley, Iowa. A correspondent of the Sea of the Shoe City Journal says that on Sunday, the 19th instant, an egg-shaped cloud was seen near Sibley, which gradually lowered itself until about 15 feet from the ground, when it began rolling after the fashion of a ball. It followed the course of a small stream, reaching a pasture. The phenomenon rolled bodily into a herd of cattle, deliberately laid hold of a fine steer and carried him about 300 yards and let him down on the opposite side of a barbed wire fence. It then slowly rose upward and with a dull report burst and almost instantly vanished. He said that aside from a few scattering clouds, the heavens were clear at the time. It ends with the comment, which is what they often put at the end of these articles or stories. The whiskey sold by Iowa drugstores must be a villainous compound.
Hello.
Oh, shades of Alexander Hamilton and the Yates Center, Kansas case.
That's right.
It would have been about 9 years later.
Well, yeah, that would have been, approximately.
Okay. You know, I recall from my own research in Colorado, in northern New Mexico, a very interesting 1888 event that happened outside of Galisteo, New Mexico, during a town picnic. A fish-shaped object descended within plain sight of quite a number of people, and strange little creatures got out and appeared to get into an argument. They were yelling at each other and pointing their fingers, and they got aboard their craft and took off. Do you recall that one? I don't remember if I saw that in the book or not.
Well, that wouldn't have appeared in the book because we stopped at 1879.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember that case offhand. Galisteo Junction is famous for a sighting. I think there's been a small confusion there because in March 1880, a New Mexican newspaper announced that a mysterious aerial phantom had appeared at Galisteo Junction.
Yeah, okay, that's it. I got the date wrong.
Right. Basically, it was people looked up and they saw these voices coming from the sky, and they see a strange balloon, and the crew is playing music and this kind of thing. The trouble with this tale is that it was a definite fiction, because the people traveling on it were actually, well, there was a they threw down a note in Chinese on silk paper, and a cup and a flower and so on. And it was a love letter by a young Chinese woman. And then her fiancé, by some incredible chance, just happens to be wandering through Galisteo at that time. And someone shows him the letter, and he says, oh, that's from my fiancé, who's traveling in a hot air balloon shaped like a fish. And so on and so on. So basically, it was just a love story of 1880.
But oh my, I don't remember all those details. I better go back and recheck my own research. Here's some questions. We have quite a number of questions, actually. A lot of folks are very, very enthused about you being on the show. And, you know, you are able to ID some fairly specific sites in some of these ancient sighting reports. And SRL, one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com, is wondering if any of your research has led investigators, archaeologists, or perhaps anthropologists to these ancient sites where possible UAP encounters were cited in the research. And if so, is there anything of value worth sharing? In other words, have you inspired any scientists to actually go out and do further work out in the field with some of these reports?
If they have, they've been very quiet about it. But on the other hand, I have inspired myself, because next week, on the 8th of October, I'm going to Ohio. And I want to visit a couple of places which I mention in a book that I'm writing myself now, and also a case that appears in Wonders in the Sky. So, next week I'll be visiting a couple of places myself. But as far as scientists are concerned, I mean, actual scientists, I don't know. It's possible that they've expressed some interest. But then again, as you said before, really, we don't find much evidence of what exactly happened 20 minutes ago. So to find physical evidence of what might have happened 150 years ago is a lot more difficult.
No. Here's a question from Team Sheep Squatch, one of our more creative posting names at forum.theparacast.com. And he's wondering about ancient reports of abductions or missing time incidents, let's say from the 1879 period going back. Are there any of these types of reports that could be tied to any sort of UFO activity? Or do you think that this whole idea is new?
There are a lot of very interesting stories from a very long time ago, and the one that interests me most currently would be the visions of a British mystic called Jane Ledd. And this was a mystic who lived from 1623 to 1704. And she began to write her visions down in diaries. And it's very interesting, because we're talking about a 17th century mystic who described, on the one hand, a plethora of UFO sightings, very similar to the ones we have today, of luminous objects that come down through the clouds and then go back up again. And she also mentions sort of manifestations of the same thing in her room. She also talks about her own abductions and what she called transportations into the sky. So, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most interesting cases would be that of Jane Ledd. I spent several years looking into her diaries and into her life, and I'm hoping to be able to write about this at some time in the future. But it really provides a very direct parallel with abduction narratives today.
I'm going to ask you more about abductions in a few moments. We have Chris Aubeck joining us, exploring strange encounters in historical times, which in the book, of course, that he did with Jacques Vallée, Wonders in the Sky, covered the period through 1879. With Gene and Chris B., you're in. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Mike Stenerson for Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Chris Aubeck joins us. I have the left field question, which I do. These are the questions that never occur to anyone. There's a perception on the part of some people, and I don't disagree with the premise completely. I think it might happen in some cases, that some of the UFO sightings that we hear about from World War II and later may have been caused by military test aircraft, that some of these abductions were the result of mind control or other kinds of psychological experiments on the part of the military or other agencies. What's your take on that, Chris Aubeck?
I'd say that it's possible, I suppose. Testing military devices in view of people who don't know what they're seeing is bound to lead to UFO reports. So there's definitely some degree of misidentification in that sense. As far as the idea that the government or military people can enter into more intimate contact with the human mind and manipulate us and abduct us and so on. I personally haven't seen any evidence for it, but then I don't normally focus on that period. I mean, most of what I study is from before 1947. Then I am interested, however, in this theory, the whole conspiration theory, sorry, the whole conspiracy theory of UFOs and contact and so on, because it reminds me a lot of the story of an Irish engineer who lived in Australia in the 1860s, Frederick Birmingham, who had a UFO vision. And we mentioned this in Wonders in the Sky. He basically saw a kind of ark, like a Noah's Ark, descend from the sky and in a sort of zigzaggy way. Then he meets the pilot, or at least the owner of this craft, who tells him that this is basically what he has to build in his own time at some point in the future, and that way he can revolutionize air transport. But this guy who had this vision and wrote about it in a book he called the Memorandum Book, it was just a diary, really, in 1873, he sort of slowly went mad. And there was a point in which he was trying to sell his invention, his blueprints for a flying ship. In the 1870s and 80s, nobody wanted to buy it from him because it was a very strange idea and it probably wouldn't have worked anyway. But he believed that this is what the spirit of this UFO type craft had tried to get him to do, to invent an airship and sell it to the government. And he finally lost his job, probably because he was so obsessed with trying to build this machine that he was spending more and more time on it and all his money and so on. And he even went to America from Australia to try to sell it there. I'm looking for any kind of cuttings or documents which tell me about his life in America. I haven't found many so far. And he finally came to the conclusion that he'd lost his job and his life had gone totally downhill because Queen Victoria and her government were trying to stop his research. He believed, and probably wrongly, that Queen Victoria was somehow sort of carrying out some kind of vendetta or something against him, and making him get removed from his government posts because he was working in the government at the time, and trying to destroy him because he thought that Queen Victoria was afraid that if this airship ever fell into enemy hands, then Britain would lose its world dominance. So the idea of a conspiracy theory is very old, and historically I find it very interesting, but I don't really have an opinion about modern ones. I just see them as a kind of development from what came before.
That kind of reminds me of, you know, I think what Jacques Vallée would consider his most important work, which is Passport to Magonia, which he spent years compiling what he then thought were misinterpreted possible UFO-type encounters in the Celtic countries and elsewhere, of fairies, leprechauns, brownies, sprite lights, that sort of thing, which harkens back to our conversation about the cultural trappings of the time, kind of fueling the interpretive sense of witnesses, and how that morphs over time. And now that we're a high-tech space, potentially spacefaring species, we tend to see these things and describe them in more high-tech terms. Do you subscribe to that idea that this particular mystery, the truly mysterious part of it, is morphing itself over time to be more acceptable to witnesses? Or do you think the witnesses are putting the details on these reports?
I don't think that the phenomenon itself is evolving in any way, which is probably not a very popular opinion among a lot of your listeners, but I don't believe that the phenomenon is adapting itself. I think that people have always described strange things, and they'll always describe it in their own terms, which is why we find centuries ago tales of flying eyes, flying. There's actually an account from China about flying cups to go with the flying saucers, and people talked about daggers and swords in the sky and so on. There's no reason to believe that UFOs adopted the shape of a sword just because people used swords more commonly at the time, and I don't think that there's any reason to suppose UFO occupants would adopt the shape of a fairy or a vampire or a witch or a devil just because it was what was seen at the time. And it doesn't make a great deal of sense to me. I don't know. I feel that what contradicts it is that we believe now that they're extraterrestrials or something. So what we see are also adapted to our expectation of what they're going to be. I don't know. I find it a very strange concept that this changes. But you know, if you study folklore, the evolution of folklore, mythology, legends, you discover that historical personages and tales have adapted to the expectations of every generation. So if you look back at King Arthur or any legendary person, whether it's the Greek gods or whoever, they just constantly are being adapted by our own culture. I mean, Thor today is a superhero who can travel in a spaceship and so on. So personally, no, I don't believe that the phenomenon evolves to meet our expectations.
But if our interpretations are evolving over the years, the big question to ask then is, what is really behind it? What is the actual phenomenon shorn of all our interpretations of it? Or is it so alien to our consciousness that we have to process it in some way? We're going to have to pursue that in our next segment with Chris Aubeck joining us. We also have many, many, many questions from our listeners. And let me remind you, if you subscribe to our weekly Paracast newsletter, you get a copy of the ebook edition of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien. Just go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com. Right there is a sign-up form, and you'll get your newsletter, and we'll get out the ebook copy to you within a few days. With Gene and Chris B., you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris Aubeck, the question on the table before we get back to listener questions and some from Crispy is, okay, if we're interpreting this in terms of our culture over the years, which we've gone into over and over again, what is the reality behind it all?
Well, this is probably the point in which my opinions differ from those of my co-author, Jack Swelly, because I don't see what we call UFO phenomenon as a body of phenomenon in itself, that is the manifestation of a single thing. I look at it in a very different way. When we see photos of UFOs, videos of UFOs, generally speaking, we see entirely different objects and different phenomena in every single photo. It's very difficult to find two photos of the same object taken with a 10-year difference. I mean, it's not that it's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult. We're always looking at the new thing, whether it's a flying banana-shaped brown objects in the sky, or whether it's red stars or a green rectangle or and so on, whether it's a transparent ball that lands on a hill. My view of all this is that I don't see any link between any of these things. I don't think that a fiery triangle has very much in common with a box with wheels that's seen hopping off into the distance, for example. And I could never answer or try to answer the question, what is the phenomenon? Because I just see a very wide selection of things, of different stimuli, of different phenomena. If someone describes to me, I don't know, a weird light that was traveling in circles in the sky, and then his uncle says, yeah, he once saw an object shaped like a fish or a penguin hiding behind a cloud, and it was silver. I say, yeah, that's great, but I just see two different things there. I don't. Yeah, this is probably one of the fallacy. There's a kind of logical fallacy here in ufology, that everything that is weird is connected just because it's in the sky. For me, it's exactly the same logic as saying, you know, all the kind of garbage we see are scattered on the ground must be connected, even if it's, you know, there's a can of Coke here and a piece of wood over there. I just don't see any connection between all of these, which is why I find it more interesting to study each case individually. But I'm unable to say that this represents a single phenomenon.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, and it's well taken. There are a number of reports in the historic record, which you point out in your book, Wonders in the Sky, co-authored with Jacques Vallée, of actual interaction between witnesses and occupants of craft. I seem to recall, is it the Asgard case, where I think beings were captured? I don't have that particular case in front of me, but do you want to describe?
Well, it was Bishop Agobard, a French bishop. Yeah, right. That's the whole origin of the word Magonia itself, you know, in Passport to Magonia. It was at the time in France, 1,500 years ago or so, people, there existed the idea that ships could travel in the sky, and they might even capture people from the ground and so on. And they come from a mysterious place called Magonia. So there are definitely stories of interaction between objects and witnesses. And I find very interesting that there are stories describing landings with people coming out and so on, way back in the 19th century. In fact, if you want to, I can read you one.
Please.
This is one that I want to look into when I get to Ohio next week. It says the following. It's dated April the 5th, 1873, Zanesville, Ohio. To the editor of the Herald, a most extraordinary phenomenon was observed near the village of Taylorsville, a few miles from this city about a week ago. Mr. Thomas Inman, whom your reporter can vouch for as a respectable farmer of unquestionable truth and veracity, related the circumstances to the writer, and with his son, who is also an eyewitness, is willing to make oath to the truth of this statement. One evening, about 2 weeks ago, while Mr. Inman and his son, a young man, were returning to their home from Taylorsville, they saw a light which they describe as looking like a burning brush pile near the zenith, descending rapidly towards the earth with a loud roaring noise. It struck the ground in the road a short distance from them. The blazing object flickered and flared for a few moments and then faded into darkness, as a man dressed in a complete suit of black and carrying a lantern emerged from it. One evening, about 2 weeks ago, while Mr. Inman and his son, a young man, were returning to their home from Taylorsville, they saw a light which they describe as looking like a burning brush pile near the zenith, descending rapidly towards the earth with a loud roaring noise. It struck the ground in the road a short distance from them. The blazing object flickered and flared for a few moments and then faded into darkness, as a man dressed in a complete suit of black and carrying a lantern emerged from it. The man walked a few paces and stepped into a buggy, which had not been observed before by either Mr. Inman or his son. There was no horse attached to this supernatural vehicle, but no sooner had the man taken his seat than it started to run noiselessly, but with great velocity, along the highway, and this it continued to do until it reached a deep gully into which it plunged, when buggy, man, and lantern suddenly disappeared as mysteriously as they came. And it ends by saying, this phenomenon is certainly an extraordinary and unexplainable one, and sounds more like the vagary of a crazed brain than anything else, but both Mr. Inman and his son, who are sober men and not given to superstitious notions, agree precisely in their statements and maintain that they are strictly true. So this is a very interesting case for me, because in 1873, there wasn't really a body of science fiction or hoax claims in newspapers which spoke about the arrival of a fiery object from the sky, which lands or crashes. In this case, I imagine it lands in front of witnesses, and then it opens, or someone comes out, all the lights go out. A man in black comes out with a kind of light in his hand, gets into a vehicle, which they call a buggy, but there's no horse, there's no propulsion method at all, and it just rides away completely noiselessly and disappears. This is what you might call a close encounter of the third kind from 1873. Although the date has raised a bit of suspicion, I mean, April the 5th, it's not April the 1st, and it does say that the events had happened a few weeks before this. It's extremely interesting historically that they would describe something of this kind. It's unmistakably something from the sky and a supernatural vehicle.
I just wonder sometimes when I hear these stories and how our cultural interpretation of UFOs has changed over the years, whether that is the purpose of the phenomenon itself, to kind of influence human development by presenting us with the possibilities. Certainly more and more people are interested today in space travel. We see the evidence now of other planets possibly bearing life. And you wonder, maybe the presence of UFOs over the years has started us thinking in different directions that maybe we would not have considered otherwise. That's one of the really crazy questions about the UFO mystery. And maybe Chris Aubeck in our next segment can tell us more about what he thinks, or whether he thinks I just posed a wacky question. In other words, to make it blunt, are flying saucers here to make us think? Think about this, folks. If you want to get a free copy of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley by Chris O'Brien, just sign up for our weekly Paracast newsletter. Go to theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. And after that, you will, of course, have the chance to subscribe, and you'll get your copy in a couple of days. With Gene and Chris, you're in.
Headlines, suspensions, FCC investigations. That's Man Cow for you. You're in here. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster. With MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So my long, convoluted question, Chris Aubeck, and one not original with Gene Steinberg, but actually goes back to the days of Ray Palmer, are flying saucers here to make us think? Think about new frontiers, new possibilities. What do you think?
I think that they certainly do make us think. Whether that's their aim or not is another question. But they definitely have made us think. I mean, they've got me into this subject, and they've got a lot of other people posing questions about the nature of reality and the nature of human experience. And there have been designs of craft based on descriptions of UFOs. In fact, it was sometime at the beginning of the 20th century, I think. I'll say 1906, but I might be slightly wrong, that somebody designed an airship based on the description given by Ezekiel in the Bible. And this is actually on display in a museum. I don't have my notes here with me about that, so I don't know exactly where that is. But so, you know, over the centuries, people have definitely been inspired by anomalies that they see to understand more. Really, human curiosity originates in things that we can't immediately understand. So whether UFOs are definitely trying to get us to think, or whether the subject of UFOs makes us think, even if they don't exist or they're mainly a psychosocial figment, I don't know. But it's definitely a pertinent question, and one that I've pondered quite a lot.
Here's an interesting question that I have, and that has to do with patterns. You know, as a field investigator and journalist, for many years, I've noticed that these events tend to cluster, and they tend to kind of come in flaps or waves of activity. In looking at an incomplete, obviously, historical record, do you have any sense of times where there's been peak periods or waves or flaps of activity, and times when there doesn't appear to be any activity at all? Have you looked into that whole idea of patterning?
Yeah, it's a difficult problem because if any event, real or not, helped sell newspapers at some point in history, then it was natural for other newspapers, I mean, whether this is 20th century or previously, to come up with similar stories to sell their newspapers too, because there's a lot of competition among newspaper editors at some point. So whether a flap, a wave, represents actual sightings seen in mass over a period of time, a short period of time, or whether we're looking at the spread of folklore, the spread of rumors, and commercializing that somehow to sell more copies of newspapers, which is really the objective of most UFO cases until they started appearing in books. It's very difficult to say. I have found cases which seem to coincide with poltergeists or with other paranormal activities going on in the same area at the same time. Working with Martin Schoff, this British expert in all things meteorological, astronomical, who's doing some amazing work with me using his digital resources and his knowledge of meteorology and so on, we found very interesting focuses of cases where perhaps they see a flying starfish. That's one of the cases that we found in from Montana. And at the same time that this was happening, there were what seemed to be poltergeist or something like that going on quite nearby, when nearby town or by people who were traveling between the two different towns. So I think that, yeah, these things seem to happen in bunches. Whether that indicates that they really are happening like that, or whether this is just a way to exploit the initial sighting or not for monetary gain is another question. I mean, what happened during the airship wave was basically that.
Yeah, and that's been pointed out by several researchers that it's hard to separate the wheat from the chaff when it comes to that particular very celebrated wave of activity. Well, how about behavior of objects? I have a question here from Wade Ridsdale, who's one of our frequent posters at forum.theparacast.com. In fact, he's almost reached the 3,000 post mark. And he's got an interesting question here for you. It says, I don't hear a lot about the falling leaf behavior that's been attributed to the UFO UAP sightings a few decades back. He doesn't see them in today's reports. Do you have any descriptions in your database from way back in the historic record of these objects exhibiting this falling leaf type behavior as they if they're descending?
Well, we have seen some cases like that. There was one posted recently. I don't have it right now. I mean, as you know, I have this international research group, which what we do, we exchange material on these subjects. Practically every day there's something going through the system, and I know that at some point we have seen cases mentioning this zigzagging movement. The story of Fred Birmingham I mentioned before in Australia, in Parramatta, he drew a sketch of the object, and it seemed to be descending in a sort of zigzag way. So, yeah, I mean, it is possible. There was also talk about the luminous thing in Fatima, seen in Fatima in 1917, and the idea that might have descended or moved at least in this zigzag fashion. It is something that comes up from time to time, but it's definitely not a staple of historical reports, and it's not really a staple of modern ones either. So I don't know where that came from in the 20th century, but if you look at hundreds of thousands of UFO reports over the centuries, you're bound to find patterns, very minor ones, between movements of objects or colors and shapes. It doesn't always mean that there's a connection there, but it's always interesting to bear that in mind.
You mentioned your project, your database project that you have been working on. This comes from Wade Ridsdale again. He's wondering about that. He says, at the risk of sounding like a pisser, despite the names involved, you, Valet, Jerome Clark, Albert Rosales, and others, he was a bit disappointed in it. He thought that within the group there would be more discussion on the events and the effects and the aftermath of recoded events, but it seems to be just hard facts, dates, general observations and sources, that type of thing. And he's more in about the experience, and given the name Magonia, he felt this was a natural assumption on his part. He said, except for two brief periods, he couldn't access this vast treasure trove of information that is already stored, although being on the mailing list, I would get newer reports as they came in. So he's wondering, what is the status of your, you know, your Magonia group? And is there, at some point in the future, will that be made accessible in terms of for researchers looking back into the record?
Well, I founded this with a colleague, Rod Brock, in April 2003. It's called Magonia Exchange, and it's called Magonia Exchange for a good reason. Firstly, Magonia, of course, is the word associated with Jack Sully's book, Passport to Magonia, but also with folklore and historical UFO sightings in general. But it's also called Exchange for a very good reason. And it's because before then, it was very, very difficult to cope researchers into sharing what they had at home, tucked away in files and drawers and under the bed and so on their hard drives, because well, with these days we're much more used to sending things off, scanning a document or even taking a picture with your phone and sending it to someone. But 11 years ago, that really wasn't the case. There were people who would collect information, and if you wrote to them, they might send you something. But there wasn't any system in which people were actively sharing what they already had, and in exchange for sharing what they had, they would receive what others had. It's in a sense, it's like a forerunner of crowdsourcing or something like that. It's
in this day and age, Chris Sawbeck, you can get a patent on that. Okay, let's do our break right now. We'll have more to discuss about Magonia Exchange and more with Gene and Chris B. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Imagine looking in the mirror and to your surprise, you look 10 years younger. How would it make you feel? Looking younger can be your reality with our breakthrough anti-aging formula that's clinically proven to visibly and dramatically improve wrinkles, lines, and skin tone. Call 1-844-500-0815. That's 1-844-500-0815. Or visit ImagineLookingYounger.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.